Does it kind of bother you when you're talking to someone and they just keep asking you question after question? So it's almost like an interrogation. Well, there was a young man who applied for a job as a signalman on a railroad. And after meeting his prospective new boss at the signal box, he was grilled by this guy, one question after another. What would you do if you realized that two trains were heading for each other on the same track? Well, the young man answered, I'd switch the track for one of the trains. What if the lever broke? Asked his boss. Then I'd run down out of the signal box and use the manual lever over there. What if that had been struck by lightning? His boss asked. Then he said, I'd run back to the signal box and phone the next signal box. Well, what if the phone was busy? His boss asked him. Well, in that case, answered the kind of frustrated young man at this point, I'd rush down out of the box and use the public emergency phone at the crossing over there. What if it was vandalized? His boss asked him. Well, then I'd run into town and get my uncle. And why, pray tell, would you get your uncle, young man? To which the now totally frustrated young man says, why? Well, because he's never seen a train wreck before. Funny as that story is, it highlights one of the most important ways that the gospel writers teach us faith through the faith story of Jesus Christ, by asking questions. Whether it's questions posed by Jesus to us or questions posed to Jesus by others, questions that make us ponder, that make us think, that make us come up with an answer. Well-pondered questions that show who Jesus is and what he's like. Who do you say I am? Jesus asks. Why, you're the Christ, the Messiah, replies Simon Peter. How many loaves do you have? Seven, the people replied. Do you want to be healed? Jesus asks the blind man. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? What can someone give in exchange for their soul? Can no one stay awake with me for even 1 hour? Are you the king of the Jews? Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And sometimes the Gospels pose for us questions from others to help teach us the faith story. For example, what do you want with me, Jesus, son of the Most High God? Asked the demon-possessed man. Jesus knew the best way to engage us and teach us what's right and wrong, to teach us who he is, and to teach us what the kingdom of God is like, is by posing questions to make us stop and think. And while all those questions are important and challenging, thought-provoking, sometimes even shocking, perhaps the most challenging and shocking question, I think, in all of Scripture, is posed to us by the angel in the empty tomb that we read from this morning. And that question, why do you look for the living among the dead? On this one little question, the entire gospel of Jesus Christ, that one little question serves to sum up for us everything that's gone before in the gospel. That one question posed by the angel forces us to stop short in our tracks, just as the women at the tomb did when the angel first posed that life-changing, that life-transforming question to them. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And it's that very same question that confronts us this Easter morning, just as it did that first Easter morning. And that question hangs over each of our heads right now, this very moment, and demands a response. We can try to ignore it or explain it away rationally or pretend that it isn't important, but the truth is, it is the most important question that we will ever be asked, and it refuses to go away. It hangs there in the air now, just as it did and as powerfully as it did 2,000 years ago, and it expects, and I'll make that, it demands that we wrestle with it and answer it. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Just like the poor young man who was hit with question after question by his prospective new boss, by the time Easter morning rolls around in the gospel story, we've pretty much had it up to here with questions. Little did the women, or we, expect that we still had the final exam coming up. And the bad news is, folks, there's only one question on the final exam, and it's cumulative. Sounds like bad odds. But there's good news for us, very good news, because to make sure that we have no doubts about whether the women at the tomb or we get the answer wrong, the angel goes ahead and answers it for us. Perhaps nowhere else in the gospel has a question been posed and then immediately answered, just to make sure we get it, that there's no doubt left in anybody's mind. The angel asks, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful people, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." And they remembered his words. Don't you just love an open book test? When you already know the answers going into the test, all you need to do is figure out in your own mind how you're going to get what you already know put together so that it makes sense for you in your life. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Four women at the tomb, they remembered. Then they ran home and told the apostles, but they weren't ready to believe. For Peter, he had to run to the tomb and check things out for himself. He saw the evidence with his own two eyes, but he left wondering what it meant in his life and for his life. Today, this very morning, it's final exam time again, and there's only one question left to answer. All or nothing, pass or fail. Why do you look for the living among the dead? In her children's book, The Summer of the Great-Grandmother, Madeleine L'Engle tells the story of spending time with her grandchildren at bedtime. And her granddaughter turned to her and asked, "Is everything all right?" To which she replied, "Yes, of course everything's all right." But her granddaughter looked at it again and said, "Gram, is everything really all right? I mean, really." Well, she said she looked at her granddaughter and realized that what she was really asking was the question, the cosmic question, the question that looks out beyond the safety of her warm and cozy house full of light and love and into the cold, dark, scary world outside. Sort of like our world today. Is everything really all right? Because it certainly doesn't seem to be so right now. How can I know that all is okay when the news and what I see doesn't seem to reassure me very much today? Is everything all right? Really? Every Easter, the invitation is given once again to come to the tomb, to look inside, to bend down and examine the discarded grave clothes. And it's okay to ask that question. Is everything all right? Really? Even before the angel could pose the question to the women, that was the question they already carried in their hearts since that terrible Friday of a couple of days ago. Was everything really all right? Will anything really be okay again? Can it possibly ever be? It resonated in the hearts of the disciples as they heard the testimony of the women, as they burst in the door after running from the now empty tomb. Is everything really all right? It was in the depth of Peter's heart as he bent down to look at the grave clothes on the ground. Is everything really all right? I mean, really? Because I sure don't know what to make of what I'm seeing here in this empty tomb. Why do you look for the living among the dead? That's the question that the angel poses to each one of us yet again, this blessed morning of resurrection. And we already know the answer. He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful people, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again? And they remembered his words. But there's still one more question left for us to answer. And there's no angel here to answer it for us. We each have to find the answer for ourselves in the depths of our own hearts, in the quiet and beauty of this sanctuary, and even and especially in the crazy and out-of-control times of our lives and our world today. Is everything all right? Really? To which, in true gospel fashion, we find the answer to a question in a question. And you already know the answer. Trust me, you do. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And that is the answer that we all need for our world and for our lives today, here and now, in a world suddenly turned upside down by illness and by fear. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. See, I answered that before you guys got a chance to. And he goes before each one of us into all of the world, even and especially into those dark and scary places of our lives. And that is not only good news, but that is the best possible news that we can ever hope for or need. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And yes, everything really is all right, truly. Amen and hallelujah.